British Telecom says calls are going to get cheaper this year. BT is planning more price cuts for later this year, but says it will also face heavy redundancy costs. British Telecom has reported first quarter profits of £781 million, up from £757 million a year ago, and better than had been forecast. BT also reported higher business volume, another sign of rising economic activity. The government and British businesses are being accused of shrouding their decisions in secrecy. The claim comes in a report from the National Consumers Council. Spokesman John Ward says inadequate information affects people's ability to choose what's best for them.
It means that consumers have great difficulty making choices about things that affect their lives. They're not able to make the best decisions about the pensions that are most suitable to them. They're not able to find out whether or not the side effects of a medicine is something that they should be taking account of. They ought to be told about the effect of the safety of food. I think some people think it's too complicated for us ordinary citizens. It's rubbish.
Scientists are warning that computer operators are being exposed to high levels of radioactive gas. Tests show the gas radon gathering around monitor screens and computer terminals. The experiments reveal no evidence of harmful effects, but the levels of radioactivity exceed the recommended exposure limits for nuclear industry workers. LBC Financial News, trading's now underway in the pre-market in London. Here's Robin Amlow.
And the market's expected to ease down on last night's lower close on Wall Street and uncertainty ahead of this morning's £2 billion gilts auction. The big company reporting season has started with a bang, as you heard in the main news. British Telecom's first quarter profits, BT saying they're going to cut prices, but then they have to. According to the price formula agreed with Oftel, they've got to cut prices by around 5% on 60% of the company's total turnover, with effect from November. What that actually means in terms of prices for you and me, we won't know for several months to come. Elsewhere in results, BAT Industries report first half profits up 5% at £948 million. Amongst other major companies reporting today, we're expecting figures later in the day from Reuters. Among smaller companies, the motor group Lexservice report profits up to £22 million from £18.6 million last time. That excludes an exceptional profit of almost £8 million made on the sale of shares in Arrow Electronics. And Menvier Swain profits are up to £9.4 million from £7.6 million previously. In the foreign exchanges at the moment, the pound's trading at $1.52¾ and 2 marks 41¼.
Sport now, here's Dominic Allen.
Michael Atherton's future as England's cricket captain rests in his own hands. If he decides not to resign, he won't be sacked. The two men who have the power to dismiss him have both declared their support for Atherton. Raymond Illingworth has backed him from the start of the ball tampering controversy. And last night, Frank Chamberlain, the chairman of the Test and County Cricket Board, gave Atherton his support as well. The draw for the semi-finals of the NatWest Trophy will be made at Lord's in a little under an hour's time. Kent made sure of their place in the last four when they beat Derbyshire by 5 wickets yesterday, but rain prevented any play at Swansea, where Surrey were due to face Glamorgan. They'll try to complete that game today. The other semi-finalists are the holders Warwickshire and Worcestershire. The Benetton Ford Formula One motor racing team will decide today whether or not to appeal against a suspension imposed on their driver Michael Schumacher by the sports governing body, the FIA. Schumacher, who leads the World Drivers' Championship, has been banned for 2 races and had 6 championship points deducted for 2 offences at the British Grand Prix at Silverstone. If they decide not to appeal, Schumacher will miss his home Grand Prix at Hockenheim on Sunday. There are 4 race meetings today. They're at Goodwood and Catterick this afternoon and at Epsom and Leicester this evening.
Now over to Isabel Lang at the London Weather Centre.
Well, there's quite a lot of cloud around to start the day, but don't worry, things are going to improve quite quickly this morning. Skies are going to brighten up and we'll see some sunshine coming through by lunchtime and quite a lot to come as well through this afternoon. Now, temperatures are fairly warm at the moment. They're about 19 degrees and rise this afternoon to a high of 27. That's just into the low 80s Fahrenheit with lighter southwesterly breezes than we had yesterday. So it really is going to feel quite hot outside. Now, there's going to be a lot of dry weather across London today, but there is a chance of some thundery weather, especially through this evening and overnight tonight, and it really is going to turn quite humid again. No lower than 17 in town, 63 Fahrenheit. That's it from me, Isabel Lang, at the London Weather Centre.
LBC News Talk, 97.3 FM.
Good morning, it's 8 after 8 on Wednesday, July the 27th. You're listening to The Morning Report with Sue Carpenter and me, Donald Trelford. As you heard in the news, London woke up this morning to a second outrage. The target was against Jewish. Again, Jewish, the officers of the Joint Israel Appeal in North Finchley, 5 people, were slightly hurt. The bomb went off at 12:45 this morning, almost exactly 12 hours after the car bomb outside the Israeli embassy in Kensington, which injured 14 people. We'll have reports on that in the final hour of the programme, and we'll talk to a leader of the Jewish community about the security threat they're facing. We'll also have up-to-date reports on road and rail services around the capital as the signalman strike goes on. We'll be going over to Rwanda, where the death toll continues to mount as refugees are torn between the awful choice of risking death at home or in the disease-ridden refugee camps. And we'll report concern from Alcohol Concern that 5,000 pints of beer are swallowed every minute in Britain in the hot weather. But first, the London bombings. The security service, MI5, Special Branch and the anti-terrorist squad have launched a huge hunt for the car bombers who attacked Jewish targets in London. In a moment, I hope to be talking to leading Labour MP Greville Janner, a director of the Joint Israel Appeal. But let's cross first again to our reporter, Hovovi Todd, at the scene of the latest car bombing in Finchley. Hello, Hovovi.
Good morning, Donald.
Is the situation becoming clearer as to what exactly happened?
Well, what they're saying is that at 12:45, a car was parked outside the offices of the Joint Israel Appeal. The police say it could not have been parked there for very long. They believe it was only parked a few minutes before it went off. The debris flying, hitting a nearby car which was passing. 2 people in there were injured. They've been taken to hospital. Also, the blast had such a ferocious impact, it took out all the windows on the street opposite. 3 other people were injured. They were local residents within those buildings. No more has been said about what the car was or who may have parked it. I've been told that this isn't the sort of high street where you have loads of video cameras, unlike others in central London.
How can they be sure it had just been parked there?
Because they say that after the bomb yesterday, they had stepped up patrols. There was a policeman patrolling up and down this high street specifically. And on top of that, patrol cars were going round the area as well. So they say they would have known had it been there any earlier. Obviously, they can't say that absolutely for certain.
Is the area still in chaos?
It certainly is, in as much as all the roads, quite a few of the roads are still sealed off. The high street here is still covered in glass. It's going to take a huge clean-up operation. Lots of shop fronts still blown out. Obviously, people are going to come and board these up. It's going to take quite a bit of clearing up before any cars can get down here. Police are saying that it's going to be at least midday, so don't even think about coming down here this morning.
How bad is the damage to the building for Joint Israel Appeal itself?
Now, that I can see from here, the whole of the front is completely blown out. But I'm advised it looks worse than it actually is. It's not structural damage. Now, I've been told that the bomb here, and these are only reports, are similar in strength and weight to the bomb that was planted at the or outside the Israeli embassy and consulate yesterday. Now, we've been told that was 30 to 40 pounds. This one, it seems, is much the same.
Thank you very much indeed, Hovovi Todd there, at the scene of the bombing in Finchley, which took place just after midnight today. A director of the Joint Israel Appeal is Labour MP Greville Janner, and he's on the line now. Good morning.
Morning.
Well, you must be very concerned, particularly for the Jewish community, but of course for everyone in London.
Yes, this is part of an international terrorist campaign which can break out anywhere. And the 2 incidents in one day, it's horrendous.
We were hearing there that there was some security at this the Jewish office in Finchley, but it didn't prevent the terrorism. Do you think the security needs now to be stepped up?
Well, it needs to be investigated in full. I mean, we want to know why a car was able to draw up outside this building, why a car could pull up alongside the wall of the Israel embassy and be left there while a woman got out of it, what the government is proposing to do to try to protect Jewish buildings, Jewish communal institutions and Israeli institutions in our city.
Well, of course, Parliament has just risen, but do you think the government should be making a special statement about this?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm hoping to speak to Michael Howard this morning and to the Foreign Office to see what they're going to do. You see, that's here. They also ought to be banning the Hezbollah and all its cells. We've known for a very long time that they are here. We don't want them in this country. They should be supporting the Argentinians in their co-sponsorship of the debate in the Security Council and in the General Assembly on international terrorism. Recognizing it comes from Iran, sanctions should be imposed at once. And we want the perpetrators caught and brought to justice.
Well, the point you make there about Argentina suggests that this is part of a big international campaign of terrorism against the peace agreements.
Yes,
you think the UN should take a part in this?
Oh, certainly. It should be recognised by everyone in the United Nations that this terrorist campaign is a danger to everyone. These people are terrorists who will kill in order to kill the peace process. And they won't succeed, but meanwhile they can cause havoc in any city in the world.
Well, you were saying earlier we should ban Hezbollah, but of course we don't know who they are, do we?
Well, our intelligence services do know quite a lot. They should know. And in the Middle Eastern press, they talk a lot at the moment about Iran's involvement. There's no international secret about this. And in my view, we could be doing a lot more than we are to keep these people out of our country.
It's been suggested, we were talking to someone at university earlier, that the desperate plight that many universities are in, they're having to look for overseas students, and that many terrorists may be coming in this guise. Do you know of any evidence that that's the case?
Well, they may be, but we've got to be very careful not to sort of point a finger at overseas students or at Arab students or at Muslim students. That's not what it's about. You see, this is what the terrorists want to do. They want to stir up massive ill will between Muslims and Jews. Well, we mustn't be taken in by that. They want to kill off the peace process. We're not going to let them. They want to terrorize the Jewish communities, and they're not going to succeed.
How are the Jewish community reacting to this threat?
Well, the ones I've met are are anxious and angry.
And what do you think that should be done immediately? Would you like to see the police actually doing much more visibly as this, or do you think that in a way plays into the hands of the terrorists if it looks as though we are reacting very publicly to it?
I've got every confidence in Paul Condon. He and his boys know what to do, but I'm not sure that they've taken seriously enough the advice from the Board of Deputies of British Jews. The board has a first-class setup. They know exactly what they're about. Eldred Tabachnik is a brilliant new president. They should be consulting and following and not waiting for something to happen and then reacting to it.
Did you see this coming, then?
Oh, everybody's seen it coming. Everybody knew. I mean, they've been threatening. They've been saying they'd do it, and they're doing exactly what they threatened.
Thank you very much indeed. I was talking there to Greville Janner, the Labour MP, who is a director of the Joint Israel Appeal, one of whose offices was bombed overnight in North Finchley. The time now, 17 minutes past 8.
And the latest travel news with Andrew Carter and Fred Housko coming up next.
It's time for a quick look at Texas. The Texas clearance sale is already in full swing, but we still have millions of pounds worth of surplus stock, reduced in price and raring to go. Furniture, gardening, DIY and more, with 30, 40, even 50% off marked prices. Remember, these are genuine clearance bargains. Once sold, they're gone. So get down to your nearest Texas now. If you're looking for a quick bargain, it's got to be the Texas clearance sale.
When you have a job like mine, you need a little excitement in life. And the Mercury Emerging Markets Fund is certainly exciting. It's a unit trust which invests in the world's fastest growing and developing countries, in the Far East, Eastern Europe, even Latin America. It's risky to invest in places like that, but Mercury Asset Management spreads my money across lots of different countries, so I don't have too many eggs in one basket. And the returns can be very exciting indeed. Oh well, back to work, I suppose. At the third stroke, the time will be 7.
For full information on the Mercury Emerging Markets Fund, ask your financial advisor or call Mercury now on 0800 445 522. That's 0800 445 522. The value of your investment may fluctuate. Mercury Fund Managers is a member of IMRO and Lautro.
It's 17 minutes past 8. Here are the headlines. A Jewish fundraising organisation in North London is hit by a car bomb 12 hours after the Israeli embassy blast in Kensington. The attacks have fueled fears of a concerted campaign to derail the Middle East peace process. And Railtrack and the RMT union are preparing to restart peace talks. London's weather, a grey start, and frankly here, it's getting grayer. However, they say there will be sunshine later and a high of 26 degrees. And it's up to Andrew Carter in the DHL London Lookout. Can you still see anything?
No, I can't actually at the moment. Last time I looked, we're over a field in towards the southeast of Croydon. I think that's a bit of an optimistic weather forecaster saying it's going to get better. It's absolutely manky where I am, and the cows are all sitting down in this field here, so that means it's going to get worse, I think. Now, we just followed the A23 all the way down from town towards Croydon and on to the M25. It's actually cleared up quite considerably, although it's still a little bit slow coming northbound up towards the Causton area. Then there's a gap, and Purley Cross is just a tad slow, but actually, all things considered, it's looking a lot lighter than it would normally be. Elsewhere, towards the east as well, the Blackwell Tunnel's clearing up now. If you're going from south to north, that's only back to around the Woolwich flyover and the A2, which runs between, of course, Deptford up towards the Old Kent Road area. At one point this morning, it was very busy. Now appears to have recovered rather nicely. Andrew Carter in the London Lookout, delivered by DHL Worldwide Express. And now down to Fred.
On the M25, the earlier accident around Junction 23, that's the A1M turn-off there, tailing back now to Junction 21A, the junction with the M1, so long, slow clockwise tailbacks there. Southern sector, right across the other side on the M25, Junction 7 to 8 in both directions between the M23 and Reigate, a virtual standstill there, possibility of a broken-down vehicle or an accident. We're trying to find that one out for you as we speak. M4 eastbound from the M25, that's rather slow going. Rochester Way Relief Road has improved quite well. Limehouse Link was a bit sticky earlier on, but that's improved as well. And Finchley High Road, of course, the diversions are still in operation up there. Hendon Way, junction of Finchley Road, the lights are out there. It's an awkward junction. And on the underground, still some delays on the Metropolitan and Jubilee line after the signal problem at Neasden. On British Rail into Victoria, we've got a number of services operating there now. They started up at around 7 o'clock and a number of services coming into Liverpool Street. And a couple of calls are telling me that through Brentwood, they seem to be having quite a few trains there at the present time. LBT Travel News.
You don't have to miss a day's work due to the train strike. Don't let it cause you any inconvenience. NCP have over 3,000 car park spaces in central London. Parking's easier with NCP.
Where in the world?
Okay, now let's talk about a big store, PC World. How's that? A really, really, really big one. Enormous, gigantic, almost unbearably huge. Not just massive, massive squared. And very big on service to boot. Free on-site service, expert advice, a technical centre for upgrades and configurations, a business centre. I mean, we're talking the Mount Everest of service here. Anyone who calls this service small is a liar. I can't say more. It's just big.
PC World, Britain's biggest computer superstore. Big on choice, big on service, big on value.
PC World.
Time to upgrade your car to a prestige mark. Time to take a closer look at Saab. The sophistication of Saab. The style of Saab. The safety of Saab. Time to put performance first. But no time to lose. Buy a new Saab 900 or 9000 before the 31st of August and you can choose from a range of added value packages at a cost that starts at under £15,600 on the road. Now is the time to take home the most sophisticated Swede you'll ever meet. There's never been a better time to buy a Saab. Dial 100 and ask for free phone London Saab dealers.
Planning on coming evening racing with LBC? It's fabulous fun. Picture Epsom, Kempton and Sandown on a balmy summer's night. The spectacle, the sense of occasion, brightly coloured jockey silks, the thrill of a close finish. To my mind, there's nothing quite like it. Already got my eye on a couple of rather interesting looking fillies. This Wednesday, we're at Epsom Downs, home of the Derby. So do join the fun and come evening racing with LBC. Mother!
This is OBC News Talk. You're listening to The Morning Report with Sue Carpenter and Donald Trofford. The time now is 22 minutes past eight.
The root of the two London bombings in the last 24 hours seems to be the peace initiative between Israel, the Palestinians and other Arab neighbours. It's a process which has accelerated since the Likud Herut party under Yitzhak Shamir lost the general election in Israel 2 years ago. And Likud is worried that too much is being given away too fast. One of Likud's representatives in London is Marvin Benjamin, who joins me in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Well, so you, for one, will not be surprised then that attacks against Israel have been brought to London.
I am surprised only that everybody is surprised. I think it's been on the cards for a very, very long time. And the fact of the matter is, we have seen it in evidence in the universities. We've seen Islamic organizations, fundamentalist organizations, that have been declaring, in effect, war against not only Israel, but against the Jewish community. And shortly, there is planned to be at the Wembley Conference Centre, an Islamic fundamentalist conference, that has declared war against the Jews. Kill the Jews, they say. So I'm not surprised that bombs are going off in Jewish areas or against Israeli or Jewish institutions.
One thing that I find curious is that the bombings have started now after the Israeli Jordanian accord rather than after the Israeli PLO accord.
Well, I think there's a reason for that. You see, it does seem that these things take a certain amount of time to set up. And Israeli intelligence has warned the British government on a number of occasions that London is, in effect, an open city, and there are so many opportunities for these bombings to take place. The fact of the matter is that there are no ID cards in this country. People can come and go, in effect, as they like. You know, the new immigration regulations stipulate that if you've got over £200,000, for example, all you need to do is to show the evidence of your financial resource to the appropriate immigration institution, and you jump the queue. Well, it's not exactly difficult for somebody to produce that kind of money if they're well financed by a terror organization. And, you know, you have a situation here where these people come and go without let or hindrance, and it's not surprising that these bombings occur, particularly when they are organised, financed and resourced by hostile governments such as Iran and Syria. Syria is supposed to be part of the peace process, but they are financing and materialising the Hezbollah organisation, the Hamas organisation. And to me, and to many of my colleagues, there is absolutely no distinction between the PLO terror and the Hamas terror. The chief of staff of the Israeli army, Ehud Barak, said indeed the other day that the two organisations share identical goals in establishing an independent state in Palestine with Jerusalem as its capital and implementing the so-called right of return. So one organisation seeks to destroy Israel by terror, the other organisation seeks to destroy Israel by diplomatic means, but the end has no distinction between one and the other.
So do you believe that the peace accord is actually bad for peace in the Middle East?
I believe that the peace accord is a flawed strategy. I believe that it contains the seeds of a future war. You know, in 1938, Winston Churchill said after Munich that Britain had a choice between war and shame. She chose shame, but she will get war. I'm not saying Israel has a choice between shame and war, but I do believe that she has followed the illusion of peace with organizations and personalities like Arafat, whose word cannot be believed at any point. Just consider, for example, what he said about the jihad in this speech at the mosque in Johannesburg. And an agreement is not an agreement, and an oath is not an oath. It's the Arabs who do not trust Arafat, never mind about Israel. So if you have an agreement with this kind of person who will not deliver and indeed cannot deliver, I'm not surprised that such an agreement contains not the seeds of a future or lasting peace, but the seeds of a future conflict.
Marvin Benjamin, thank you very much for your views this morning.
Thank you.
The time is 8:26.
Meanwhile, in Rwanda, the agony goes on. Some refugees are continuing to go home. Thousands are still dying on the border of starvation and disease. On top of that, there's the harrowing ordeal of hundreds of orphans. On the line now from the Rwanda Zaire border is Dr. Jens van der Lyck, the coordinator for the Rwanda operation for the Charité Médecins Sans Frontières. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's the position now about the refugees going back? We hear reports that something like 30,000 have chosen that route.
Well, I think that's estimated too high. We have seen, several thousands refugees going back until now. If you ask refugees, Hutu refugees in the area here, most of them, they say, well, they're afraid at the moment to return.
And what's the position in the camps? Is the cholera epidemic getting worse or is it being controlled?
Well, normally a cholera epidemic can last for 2 to 4 weeks. We are only 1 week, 10 days underway, and we see that there's still a rising number of cholera patients in our center, so we are working on installing more of these cholera treatment centers. We will have soon 6 of these centers treating 500 patients every day.
Water, we've heard, has been the most urgent need. Is it now arriving?
I'm sorry?
I was asking about water. Are you getting enough water for the patients?
No, still there's not enough water. We have water in the centers where we treat these patients, and we are carrying it ourselves, and some other organizations help us to carry. But in general, there's not enough water for all the people, for all the refugees. So a lot of people, they are dying because of lack of water, and that's especially the children. It's a big problem at this moment.
Thank you very much indeed. That's Dr. Jens van der Lijk reporting from the Rwanda-Zaire border. The time now is 29 minutes past 8.
Up to Andrew Carter in the DHL London Local.
Just coming across the east again, looking down at Blackheath. Still rather chock-a-block coming in towards town. That's obviously going westbound, but having said that, it's moving along rather nicely. The Deptford one-way system seems a bit slow, but once you get beyond that, it's just the sort of bog-standard stuff you'd expect coming in towards town at this time of the morning. A little bit slow up towards the new cross area and then beyond, but having said that, all things considered, the fact that it's week 7 and day 2 of the strike, everything's fine. In the central town, still got those traffic lights playing up. They're on Marylebone Road at the junction with Park Crescent, and also Grosvenor Place southbound looking rather slow too. Andrew Carter in the London Lookout, delivered by DHL Worldwide Express, and I'm Orphan Fred.
On the M25 clockwise between junction 20 and 23, that goes from the A41 right the way round to the St Albans turn off and then through to the A1M. The earlier accident now clear, but it's still rather slow going approaching junction 23. On the southern sector of the M25 in both directions between junction 7 and 8, that's Reigate and the M23, in both directions very, very slow, still trying to find out whether there's an accident or a broken down vehicle or a change in the roadworks. On the underground, the Metropolitan and Jubilee line, still some delays there, and the limited rail services in the network south east began running about 7 o'clock this morning and will go through at a normal peak time till 9:30. LBC Travel News.
You don't have to miss a day's work due to the train strike. Don't let it cause you any inconvenience. NCP have over 23,000 car park spaces in central London. Parking's easier with NCP.
What can be done to beat the bombers? We'll be talking next about security in London. And if you have views on this, give Simon Bates a ring after 11 o'clock.
LBC News Talk 97.3. News.
The 8:30 summary. Terrorists have launched a second car bomb attack in London. The latest target was the headquarters of a leading Jewish fundraising organisation in North Finchley. 5 people have been hurt, none is seriously injured. According to eyewitnesses, the blast rocked a large area of North London.
Well, I've heard a shot coming from my time before, and there's nothing quite as loud as what I heard. There was a car in the middle of the road on fire, and that was as close as we could get.
When it went off, the whole place just shook. Like, you could feel the force on one side of the face.
We were actually in bed and just dozing off, and the blast actually woke us.
I was heading back from the pub, and it just went off. I just seen the car run up in flames.
14 people were injured in the earlier car bombing outside the Israeli embassy in Kensington. The 2 attacks have been condemned by the Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin and King Hussein of Jordan. The 2 leaders were signing a declaration in Washington ending the 46-year state of war between their countries. King Hussein says the terrorists are a disgrace to the Middle East.
Nothing irritates me more, or is more painful to me, than to witness and see acts and attitudes attributed to Islam that have nothing to do with Islam, my faith, and my religion.
Both sides in the ongoing rail dispute are expected to meet within the next few days for new peace talks. Railtrack and the RMT have exchanged letters saying they're ready to discuss a deal. British Rail says around a quarter of trains are running today. The current 48-hour strike ends at noon tomorrow. A children's charity claims youngsters are losing out most as the gap between rich and poor widens. The study by Dr. Bernardo's claims increased poverty in the 1980s has had a devastating effect on youngsters' lives. The report's author, Richard Wilkinson, says the number of drug offenders doubled and educational standards fell.
Again, we see a national worsening of reading standards, which was thought to be to do with teaching methods. It's now turned out not to be that at all. It happens in the deprived areas, and it happens exactly when income differences are widening.
LBC Financial News: shares are trading mixed at the opening, with the market uncertain in the face of falls on Wall Street last night and this morning's upcoming £2 billion government stock auction. Latest news in shares: Lloyds Bank's 62% owned Lloyds Abbey Life unit reports half-time profits are up 13% at £171.8 million. That was in the middle of market forecasts. There's a warning of lower second-half profits to come from healthcare supplier Intercare Group. And TI Group says the merger between its Doughty Aerospace subsidiary's landing gear business and that of Messier SA, the subsidiary of French state-owned group Snecma, has now been completed. Gold is trading at $387.35 an ounce. In the foreign exchanges, the pound against the mark down more than a pfennig at just under 2 marks 41. The pound against the dollar just over $1.52.5, that's unchanged. The dollar against the mark 1 mark 58, down 2/3 of a pfennig. And the opening FTSE 100 share index is down 0.8 at 31.16.4. Finally, LBC's weather for London. And right now in West London, it's 17 degrees. Bright this morning with some sunshine to come, they say, but not if you're in Hammersmith. It's definitely getting darker here. A warm afternoon with further spells of sunshine. It should stay dry. There's just the small chance of some thundery weather by the end of the day. The high, 27 degrees with lighter southwesterly winds. Tonight, warm and cloudy with a risk of a few thundery showers. Temperatures in town falling no lower than 17 degrees. Tomorrow, another humid day, but it'll be cloudier with a few thundery showers, especially to the east and south of London. That's it. There'll be another news bulletin at 9 o'clock.
This is LBC News Talk. You're listening to The Morning Report with Sue Carpenter and Donald Trofford. The time now is 26 minutes to 9. The two car bomb attacks against Jewish targets in Kensington and Finchley have again highlighted the feeling of helplessness in the face of naked terror. But at least in one part of London, points appear to have deterred the bombers. So are there lessons here for the rest of London? Joining me from the LBC radio car is the man who's played a key role in combating terrorism in the city, Michael Cassidy, chairman of the corporation's powerful Policy and Resources Committee. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning.
Well, you seem to have had success so far. I mean, we always have to say these things with our fingers crossed.
Yes.
But what lessons have you learnt from your own experience that might be applied to the rest of London?
I think, first of all, support for the police in their efforts to apprehend the terrorists, because the public do need to put up with a degree of inconvenience if the war against terrorism is going to be successful. And I think there's general acceptance, that's certainly been our experience in the city, that a small amount of inconvenience is worth it if there's a higher degree of security.
Do you find that people do accept this, or do they find it an irritant every day?
I think the experience here has been that people do accept it. I mean, the amount of complaints that I've had at Guildhall has been fairly minimal in the last year since the measures were introduced. And in fact, people are finding the place much more pleasant because they feel more secure walking around. And as I've said to you before, the traffic volumes are significantly down in the city.
Well, of course, you do have the advantage of a very precise area, location, that you can define. And you also have a degree of control, to some extent, or communication
yes.
with the people who work there, which perhaps isn't the case elsewhere in the
yes,
the city,
I've never claimed that the particular measures that were brought in the city were to be recommended for other parts of the country, because I think the situation is unique. But there are one or two lessons from our experience which perhaps are relevant. First of all, as I said, support for police measures. Secondly, the effectiveness of cameras now. The quality of the cameras is infinitely better than in the past, and provided they're well maintained and the tapes are fresh and they're regularly serviced, they can produce remarkable evidence and act as a real deterrent to terrorists.
But what about this new threat from the Middle East? Obviously, you're geared up for attacks by the IRA. Is the city itself on a special alert in case you're selected as a target for these people too?
I don't know, because those operational matters are for the Commissioner of the City Police. I'm sure he's got it well in mind. What I am aware of is that a higher degree of vigilance on the part of the public can be very effective. There was a recent example of a taxi driver who picked up someone who smelt of petrol, and immediately drove him round to Bishopsgate Police Station. Of course, he was arrested, and there's been a trial recently where he was convicted. So, I mean, that sort of alertness can be very effective.
How permanent are your checkpoints and roadblocks? I mean, in your own thinking, do you regard them now as a permanent feature of life until perhaps there is an IRA ceasefire?
These are now permanent in the city. Irrespective of what happens on any particular terrorism front, the traffic scheme has been so successful that we've decided to keep them in place for all time. So there'll always be an element of traffic restrictions at the heart of the city, and whether it's police 24 hours a day is a matter for the commissioner to decide month by month.
Thank you very much indeed. Michael Cassidy there, chairman of the City of London's Policy Committee, talking about security in the city. Well, the most telling description of this morning's bomb explosion near the Tallyho corner in North Finchley has come from a local resident, electrician Peter Jinks. In his room above a shop directly opposite the Joint Israel Appeal headquarters at Balfour House, Peter was getting ready for bed at about 12:45 this morning. He left his room to go to the bathroom, and he told me what happened next.
Well, I walked down the hall, and this immense explosion took place, and then a massive force, which actually pulled, rather than push my bedroom door in, pulled it away from its hinges.
So your house is damaged?
Oh, I've got no windows. I've got glass all across my room. My curtains have fallen down. There's a bit of a mess.
And I suppose the same true of all your neighbours, is it?
There isn't a window in sight that I can see intact.
Could you actually see the scene of the bomb from your windows?
I'm literally opposite Balfour House.
And what could you see?
There's, it looks like breeze block has fallen out onto the road. There's a drain cover which has lifted off. There's what's left of a car. I've no idea what sort of car, but it looks as though it was parked directly outside and has been blown back about 12, 15 yards and pushed another car onto another car. And half of a tree has sort of lost its leaves.
Well, what happened at 12:45? I mean, did people start running out of their houses?
I think it took about 5 minutes, and then the people in the same building that I'm in came downstairs. There was someone upstairs, and plaster came down on top of them. They're not injured, they're just covered in dust. We all walked downstairs. I was more concerned in case there was another explosion, but which there wasn't. And when we got out onto the side street, the police were there and was telling everyone to walk down the road.
They were there very quickly, were they?
They were there very quickly, and then they cordoned it off and then said the safest place is back inside.
Are you going to be able to get out through these roadblocks easily, do you think?
My car is blocked in by police tape, and it doesn't look as though there's much of a clear way through the high road.
Were many other cars damaged in the blast?
There's a metro, literally.
That we believe held the car bomb, the metro.
No, there's a metro that must have been driving past.
Oh.
It must be 30 yards from the car that is unrecognisable.
Yes.
There's no way you could tell. It's got a smashed sunroof and I believe a windscreen. I believe the people just stopped, got out and ran. I think they were slightly injured, I'm not sure.
Have you talked to your neighbours about their experiences?
The people, yeah, pretty much so. They've all sort of heard and felt the same thing. Some were asleep, some weren't. Some have had some plaster come off the ceiling and off the walls.
Well, you must be feeling very angry about it all.
The shock is just wearing off because I've been sort of awake all night for the past 5-6 hours. I'm not too aware of the time now.
North London electrician Peter Jinks, a witness of the overnight bombing in North Finchley, telling me earlier what happened. The time now, 19 minutes to 9.
And travel news with Andrew Carter and Fred Housecoat coming next.
You know how vital your computer files are to your company. You know that a loss of computer data could be disastrous, so make sure your files are automatically backed up and stored securely off-site. Secure Backup Systems is the fully automatic data backup and retrieval service. Via a direct connection to your office, they'll automatically encrypt, download, and store your data securely off-site. Help protect your business from disaster. Call Secure Backup Systems 0800-222-587. That's 0800-222-587.
The trouble with many people's perception of the property market is that it lags some way behind what's actually occurring in the economy. If you're waiting for the economic climate to pick up before making a move, you may well be missing a trick. In fact, in some areas and commercial sectors, there's even a shortage of properties. So should you be thinking of moving premises and don't want to miss the boat, call Nelson Bakewell on 071-629-6501 for professional advice and our useful guide. Nelson Bakewell Chartered Surveyors, traditional service in the modern manner.
Hello?
Hello, Mike, it's Paul.
From London. We'd better talk as quickly as we can, because you know, only too well, because phone calls can really cost a fortune.
That's right. Never mind, I'm going to see if I manage to get your digital interface working around our annual sales forecast.
I sure have. Well, why did you remember that? Just going to sit around and come out and reach out to me, as I often do deliver all
on schedule. Yeah,
Don't rush long-distance calls. Make major savings on your long-distance phone bills with ACC. Call ACC free on 0800-55-6688. Nice and slowly. 0800-55-6688.
Talk to you, Paul. Bye.
Regards to Pam. Bye.
Find out how Straker Office Supplies could help your company save thousands of pounds on administration and stationery costs. Call 081 648 3434.
It's 8:43. Here are the headlines. The anti-terrorist police are accused of not doing enough after a second car bomb attack on an Israeli target in London. The two sides in the rail dispute are planning new peace talks as the 48-hour signal workers' strike continues. And BT is promising further price cuts after another increase in profits. London's weather, a grey start, sunshine later, and a high of 26 degrees is expected. And it's up to Andrew Carter, the DHL London lookout. Andrew, where are you?
We're just coming across the centre of London at the moment, looking down, in fact, at Southwark Bridge. If you're going northbound, that's looking just a tad slow this morning for some odd reason. Now, I can't tell you exactly what's causing the delays down there. It's possibly just the sheer weight of traffic. And also, if you're using Grosvenor Place to go down towards the Victoria one-way system, that's still looking very slow because of the roadworks there. That's having a knock-on effect on Hyde Park Corner and also southbound travelling on Park Lane. Towards the west, we've got some delays, I'm afraid, of using the A312 this morning on the approach to Hounslow. That's very slow indeed. And also the Great South West Road, which is, of course, the A30 at that point, between Heathrow and Hounslow, is looking very slow. That's possibly because of the earlier accident that we had in Hounslow town centre, but more likely to be because, of course, a little bit of that is now part of the diversion route because of the eastbound on-slip closure of the M4 from the Heathrow Spur roundabout. And the M4 itself coming in towards town still busy now from just beyond the M25. Andrew Carter in the London Lookout, delivered by DHL Worldwide Express, and now down to Fred.
Indeed, going back to that problem at Junction 3 with the M4 and the area around the A312 and the A4, it's absolutely jammed solid at the present time. The main reason now being, of course, that Junction 3 westbound, the on-slip, has now been closed. Advice, therefore, if you're coming out of Heathrow, is to turn west onto the A4 and then, I know it's a bit of a journey, but go out towards Slough East and Langley and pick up the M4 from there, so coming back on. The M4 itself is open, obviously, but there are roadworks there as well. It's not a particularly good choice, but it's about the best we can offer. On the southern sector of the M25 between junctions 7 and 8, that's the M23 and Reigate in both directions, extremely slow there, and that's also affecting the traffic on the M23 northbound. Uxbridge Road, some good news there. I understand now as Askew Road to Conyngham Road has now been open after the burst water main the other day closed it. On the underground, still the Met and the Jubilee line there, delays because of the problems at Neasden. And also British Rail, the limited rush hour service this morning were now scaled down a little, and where it was earlier on 10-minute services and 20-minute services, you'll now find they'll extend to 30 and 40 minutes, and that should go on through the early day until about 5, 6 this evening. LBC Travel News.
You don't have to miss a day's work due to the train strike. Don't let it cause you any inconvenience. NCP have over 23,000 car park spaces in central London. Parking's easier with NCP.
Now then, underpants, socks, vest.
Mother.
Ah, pidgey pyjama case.
Oh, Mother, I'm 49 years old.
Passport, tickets. Money. I forgot to get your traveller's checks.
I'm getting them at the airport.
They won't be open.
They're open 7 days a week, any time a flight is arriving or departing.
Oh, well, if you want to pay through the nose.
Mother, their currency exchange rates always match one of the four main UK clearing banks.
Well, you'll be telling me you can tie your own shoelaces next.
If you would please, Mumsy.
You get the best all-round deal when you change your money at Heathrow, Gatwick, Stansted or any BAA airport. And that's guaranteed.
Acquiring or disposing of commercial property? Call for our useful guide on 071-629-6501. Nelson Bakewell Chartered Surveyors. Traditional service in the modern manner.
Today, more than ever, more and more people are wondering if private medical insurance is right for them. Because people's attitudes towards healthcare treatment have changed so dramatically over the past few years, the Permanent Health Company includes in all their policies cover for selected complementary medicine. It's really reassuring to know that the Permanent Health Company not only offers you the affordable solution to your healthcare needs, it offers you the freedom to choose when, where, and how you're treated. Call the Permanent Health Company on 0800 132 774. Your call is free and without obligation. That's 0800 132 774.
It's time for sport now with Dominic Hammond. Well, let's talk about cricket again. Atherton gets the support from the TCC.
Yes, he's getting more and more support. Raymond Illingworth, the chairman of selectors, has supported him right from the outset of this ball tampering controversy. And effectively, the only other man who could sack Mike Atherton would be Frank Chamberlain, who's chairman of the TCCB, where he's come out in favour of Atherton, as too has the Lancashire chairman, Bob Bennett. At the moment, Mike Atherton, I think, is considering his position. He's, we don't know where he is, but I think probably up in the Lake District. Some people say he's even gone over to France. But he doesn't have to play. Lancashire went involved in the quarterfinals of the NatWest, and they haven't got a county game starting tomorrow. So the next, I suspect, we'll hear from Mike Atherton will be when the selectors meet in Manchester at the weekend.
Well, let's talk about the NatWest Trophy semi-finals.
Yes, draw going to be made in, 20 minutes' time at Lords. Kent are already through. They beat Derbyshire by 5 wickets at Derby yesterday. Warwickshire, the holders, are through as well. So to Worcestershire, the side that Warwickshire beat in the final of the Benton and Hedges Cup last month. So it could be an All Midlands local derby against a London local derby, as it were. Or it could be the other way round. I'd like to see Kent and Surrey kept apart, assuming that Surrey do beat Glamorgan today, because it would be quite nice to have at least one side, a local side, into the final. And, of course, Warwickshire still, as Donald is just about to tell us, I'm sure, still on course for a Grand Slam.
And let's talk about motor racing. It was a busy old day in Paris yesterday at the FIA's World Motorsport Council.
Yes.
So they suspended Schumacher.
They suspended Schumacher for 2 races. They deducted 6 points. These are for the 2 irregularities during the British Grand Prix at Silverstone. The first one, when he overtook Damon Hill on the warm-up lap. The second one, which is very much more serious, when he ignored the black flag, which meant he had to stop. The race was stopped. I mean, we don't know what was. He wouldn't have known what was around the next corner. He flagrantly ignored that. Whether that was arrogance or not, I don't know. But worse even was the fact that his team, Benetton, should have called him in on the assumption that he didn't see it. So, yes, it is a pretty heavy fine and suspension. Now, he has a choice. The next Grand Prix, of course, is on Sunday at Hockenheim, his home Grand Prix. 150,000 crowd there, and the majority of whom will be supporting Schumacher to win the race. And I don't think they'll be too happy if the number one German driver doesn't turn up at the German Grand Prix. I suspect what Benetton might well do today is to take the risk and appeal against it so that he will be able to race at Hockenheim, and he'd then miss the next 2 Grand Prix at the Hungarian Grand Prix and then the one at Spa, the Belgian Grand Prix, if they don't increase his penalty. When Eddie Irvine appealed after suspension of 1 Grand Prix for the trouble at, Fuji, wasn't it, yes, last year, they increased his penalty to 3 Grand Prix. So whether Benetton and Schumacher will take that risk remains to be seen, because if he does miss those 2 races and Damon Hill wins them, that massive lead he has in the championship will be reduced something like 7 points with 6 races to go.
I was interested, too, to note that Benetton were fined not just for breaching the rules at Silverstone, but at San Marino as well. And it sort of leaves open the speculation that as the FIA put it yesterday, a facility capable of breaching the regulations as contained in the Benetton system.
It sounds like
accusations of cheating to me.
Well, it does, yes. Well, have we had that before recently?
Mm.
Yes, the FAI have kept fairly open about it because some of the other teams have queried this. They say they've got something inside their software that means they could breach the regulation. But the FIA said yesterday there was no proof at all that they'd used the device. They were also pretty upset, I think, that their inspectors were not allowed to inspect the Benetton computer when they wanted to. They kept them hanging around quite a bit for that. And so this is going on. I think the FIA are basically saying, look, we run motor racing and the teams don't, and the sooner you realise that, the better. But particularly over this business of the black cloud, I think that it's absolutely important that the FIA are very, very strong on that one.
And finally, football. Thompson quits as QPR chairman.
Yes, that'll please a few people in Shepherd's Bush. He wasn't very popular. He's still at the club. I must maintain that he's still at the club. He's got a controlling interest in the club, but he stood down as chairman because he wants to concentrate on other business interests he has, and he says you can't devote enough time to being chairman of the club. So Peter Ellis is taking over. But where this is going to leave the QPR policy with regard to some of the players that they may have to sell or want to sell remains to be seen. But some Rangers supporters will be quite pleased about that. He's had the odd demonstration against him towards the end of last season.
Dominic Allen, Miss Hawke, thank you very much.
Is your business getting into financial difficulties, facing insolvency or personal bankruptcy? Then talk to C. Jacobs & Company, licensed insolvency practitioners. Their unique insolvency advice line offers support, understanding and constructive solutions to problems relating to insolvency and bankruptcy. For impartial advice without obligation, call C. Jacobs & Company during office hours on 0891 615 635. That's 0891 615 635. Calls cost 49p a minute peak rate and 39p at all other times. Calls last approximately 5 minutes.
You know, sir, there's something I just don't understand.
Trilby, I should think there's a great deal that you don't understand.
I'm sorry, sir.
Precisely.
No. You see, now that the new Clio comes with a £350 cashback from Renault if you register by the 31st of August, and 0% finance, subject to status...
Yes?
There couldn't be a better time to buy.
Quite.
So I just don't understand why you still haven't bought me one.
Well, that, Trilby, will have to remain one of the great mysteries of life.
The new Renault Clio, now with £350 cashback on all cars, excluding Bebop versions, registered by the 31st of August, plus 0% finance subject to status. For written details, call Renault UK Limited on 0800 52 51 50 or see your local Renault dealer.
This is your mission, should you choose to accept it. To get to work and to get home again. Your obstacle, a 48-hour signalman strike aimed at crippling our rail network. The only way to win is to arm yourself with an earful of Peter Dealey's drive time on LBC News Talk. You'll be kept up to date with the very latest travel information, comprehensive roundups of trains that are running, which roads are clear, plus analysis of how London's coping. So keep listening to Peter Dealey's drive time, weekdays 4 till 7 here on LBC News Talk, and relieve congestion.
It's 6 minutes to nine. According to the organisation Alcohol Concern, more than 5,000 pints of beer are swallowed every minute in Britain in the summertime. On the line, Alcohol Concern's director, Eric Appleby. Good morning, Mr. Appleby.
Good morning.
5,000 pints a minute, that seems a very large sum. Is that a big increase?
It's not a big increase over the years, but what we do find is, of course, that there's more beer drunk during the summer, which is perhaps not surprising. But I think the thing is that it's at Christmas time, perhaps we all think about drinking and we worry about drinking. But in fact, it's the summertime when we drink more, and there is a danger that people get into trouble with drink.
Of course, we're more thirsty, aren't we? So you're saying we should just be more careful then?
Well, that's right. Often in the summertime, you're perhaps on holiday, you decide to relax with a drink or two. And of course, sometimes you maybe have one or two more than perhaps you intended, and you tend perhaps to mix that with other activities. I mean, the obvious one is swimming. I mean, every year, about one in four of all drownings are related to alcohol. And so I think the thing to do is to make sure, if you're going to have a good time, is that you don't let the drink spoil the good time.
Do you think there's a case for more alcohol-free drinks or low-alcohol drinks being available in the summer? I mean, do you feel that enough is being done by shops to make them available? I used to have a theory that a certain proportion of all the liquor on sale ought to be non-alcohol or low-alcohol as a kind of rule. Because, I mean, I ask shops about this. They say, well, there's no demand. Well, there's no demand because it's not there. It's a kind of revolving thing.
Well, that's right. I mean, I think that there could be a lot more done to make the non-alcoholic alternatives just simply there, as you say, and also perhaps to make them a bit more attractive, because really there's not been a lot of effort put into producing decent non-alcoholic drinks other than the old standards, the sort of the fruit juices and the mineral waters and that sort of thing. And I think those are fine. And the other thing, as well as making the drinks available, I think we also have to try and change our attitudes a bit so that we accept that non-alcoholic drinks are you can have just as good a time with those as you can with alcoholic drinks.
Yes, but things like PIMS, traditional drinks in the summer, I mean, they can be made according to taste, can't they? And there's a risk that they can be spiked pretty badly too, can't they? Especially when kids are drinking them.
Well, that's right. And there is a sort of a funny sort of feeling people have that you're not offering true hospitality, that it's not a real drink unless it's got a good slug of alcohol in it. And certainly in the summer, then very often the drink's much more refreshing for having less alcohol. Alcohol does, after all, dehydrate, and the point of drinking is obviously to put some liquid in you.
Well, what about these limits on the amount you're supposed to drink? I see that your organisation is still arguing for what's called sensible drinking. Is it? Is it 14 units for women, 21 for men?
That's right.
But haven't these been rather discredited in many people's minds by research elsewhere, particularly in Scandinavia, suggesting, you know, that a little of what you fancy does you good?
Well, no, the limits haven't been discredited at all. There's been a lot of research about some possible beneficial effects of drinking alcohol, and it does appear that there is some protective effect against heart disease for certain people in the population, which is basically older men. But those effects come with relatively few drinks, 1 to 2 drinks a day, which means that if you stick within your, for a male, your 21 units a week, then you can still pick up on that effect without causing all the other problems that alcohol gives you. The Scandinavian survey, there's one in particular, which frankly is out of line with every other survey, and not even those in the drinks industry themselves set a lot of store by it. I think it was just a rogue piece of research, but obviously it's got a lot of coverage because it tends to give a sort of a fairly welcome view to a lot of people.
Mr. Appleby, thank you very much indeed. That's Eric Appleby, Alcohol Concerns Director, and the message there is, if you're drinking more in the summer, take a little care. The time is 9:02.
And for the last time this morning, out to the DHL London Lookout and Andrew Carter.
If you're in the centre of town this morning, you'll find some delays, I'm afraid, centred around Southwark and also Waterloo Bridges, both heading northbound, particularly slow for some odd reason. However, having said that, the general situation really around the road this morning is easing off. However, the A2 coming up towards Deptford and across Blackheath still looking a tad slow, and the M4 and all its surrounding roads, including the A312 and the A30, the Great South West Road, still coming in towards town very slow because of the roadworks on the M4 and the various diversion routes. And finally, nice to end for a change on some good news for you. In Shepherd's Bush, you'll find that Duxbridge Road has been reopened following that burst water main. They've actually got it sorted out 2 days ahead of schedule. Andrew Carter in the London Lookout, delivered by DHL Worldwide Express, and now down to Fred.
Southern sector of the M25 approaching junctions 7 and 8 in both directions between the M23 and Reigate, still extremely slow. They've been trying to find out whether there's been an accident or a broken down vehicle, can't. So I'm afraid if you're going out towards Gatwick and using the M25, do leave extra time for your journey. Out towards Heathrow again, that problem around junction 3, the best advice I can give you is if you're coming out of Heathrow is to go to the west on the A4 and pick up the M4 at Langley and then come back into town. Not the best plan in the world, but it might work. On the Underground, Metropolitan and Jubilee line still delays because of the signal fault earlier on at Neasden, and on British Rail they now begin to wind down the limited peak hour service had this morning, but it will run throughout the day. LBC Travel News, good morning.
You don't have to miss a day's work due to the train strike. Don't let it cause you any inconvenience. NCP have over 23,000 car park spaces in central London. Parking's easier with NCP.
Well, that's all for now on the Morning Report from Sue Carpenter and me, Donald Shelford. After the 9 o'clock news here on LBC News Talk 97.3 FM, Simon Bates will be inviting your comments on the bombing of Jewish targets in London and asking exactly how safe we are in London. While on our sister station, London Talkback Radio, 11:52 AM, Peter Murray with the Morning Talkback. Sue and I will be back tomorrow at the usual time, 6 till 9. Till then, have a good day.
Good morning.
LBC News Talk 97.3 News.
Good morning, it's 9 o'clock. This is Jonathan Staples. Israel's military attaché to London is criticising the British authorities for failing to prevent a second car bomb attack on a Jewish target in London. Five people were injured in the explosion outside the headquarters of an Israeli welfare organisation in North Finchley. Brigadier General Azriel Nevo says the authorities have blundered. He claims his staff warned the government of a danger to Jewish institutions following the Israeli embassy blast yesterday. Labour MP Greville Janner is demanding a full government inquiry into the explosions.
We want to know why a car was able to draw up outside this building. Why a car could pull up alongside the wall of the Israel embassy and be left there while a woman got out of it, what the government is proposing to do to try to protect Jewish buildings, Jewish common institutions and Israeli institutions in our city.
The attacks have fueled fears of a concerted campaign to derail the Middle East peace process. Malvin Benjamin of the Israeli opposition party Likud Herut in London believes the peace accord is doomed.
In 1938, Winston Churchill said after Munich that Britain had a choice between war and shame. She chose shame, but she will get war. I'm not saying Israel has a choice between shame and war, but I do believe that she has followed the illusion of peace with organizations and personalities like Arafat, whose word cannot be believed at any point.
The two sides in the rail dispute are expected to meet within the next 48 hours for fresh peace talks. It comes as signal workers continue their two-day strike. British Telecom is planning more price cuts this year after announcing rising first quarter profits. Pre-tax profits have increased from £757 to £781 million, with the number of inland calls up 7% over the year. But the company is warning it'll be facing heavy redundancy costs. The widow of a man killed by a violent schizophrenic released back into the community is launching a trust to help the families of other victims. Jane Zito's husband, Jonathan, was stabbed to death at a tube station in North London. She blames the government's care in the community policy for allowing his killer, Christopher Clunis, to roam free. Doctors say health warnings about the dangers of getting skin cancer are being ignored. New research shows Britons don't believe the sun can be as strong in Balham as Benidorm. Professor Gordon McVie of the Cancer Research Campaign says unless people take precautions, there'll be a dramatic increase in skin cancer.
People pay to go to Benidorm because they know it's going to be hot. You go to the chemist, you get the anti-diarrhea medicines and the things for the sore tummies and the headaches and so on, and you get your skin protection stuff. What we haven't yet got through to people, obviously, is to have that sort of gear around at home for the occasional hot, sunny day that we get.
Now it's time for the latest financial news. Here's Robin Amlow.
The FTSE 100 share index is down 8.4 at 3108.8. The market lower on a mix of factors. It closed lower than its best levels yesterday. The market in Wall Street was down, and there's a big government gilts auction coming up this morning. BAT and British Telecom have kicked off the reporting season, both showing figures well above forecast. BT shares up 2 at 384, but BAT are down 7 at 437. In the foreign exchanges, the pound's unchanged against the dollar at $1.52.5. It's down a pfennig at 2 marks 41. And the dollar is down 2/3 of a pfennig at 1.58.
Sports news now. The Benetton Ford Formula One motor racing team will decide today whether or not to appeal against the suspension imposed on their driver, Michael Schumacher, by the sport's governing body, the FIA. Schumacher, who leads the World Drivers' Championship, has been banned for two races and had 6 championship points deducted for 2 breaches of regulations at the British Grand Prix at Silverstone. If they decide not to appeal, Schumacher will miss his home Grand Prix at Hockenheim on Sunday. If they do appeal, he'll be able to race, but he'll run the risk of the penalty being increased. LBC's weather for London, bright this morning with some sunshine to come. A warm afternoon, further spells of sunshine. It should stay dry, just the small chance of some thundery weather by the end of the day. The high today, 27 degrees with lighter southwesterly winds. On the LBC roof in West London right now, 17.6. LBC News time, 9:05.
This is the Simon Bates Show on LBC News Talk 97.3.
Wednesday, July the 27th, 1994. Good morning. It's just after 9:05. There can be no doubt, of course, about the biggest story this morning. It's the two bombs that went off in London yesterday and the implications. At 11 o'clock or just after, we'll discuss the issues that yesterday's events have raised. Is it possible to be entirely safe in London? We'll have experts and we'll also have people who understand how difficult it is, but how possible it may be to protect an entire city. The bomb that exploded near Kensington Palace went off in one of the most secure areas in one of the safest cities in the world. And we'll discuss that after 11. But let's hear from you now about how safe you felt yesterday and how safe you feel today. Is